And we see that Jude, in verse 12 of his letter, talks about certain men. It says, these are the men who are hidden reefs. This is out of the NASB. Hidden reefs in your love feast. And actually, let me point out that in the early church, when they ate together, it was a full meal. I mean, they sat down and had a full meal together. You know, when it talks about a love feast in Scripture, it was a full meal. They sat down and had a feast. You know, it wasn't just a piece of bread and just a small cup of juice. They had a full meal together, had fellowship over a full meal together, enjoyed one another's company together. But Jude talks about these men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. And actually, when it talks about hidden reefs, I don't know how many of you have done much boating, let alone in a place where they actually have reefs, unlike the Chesapeake Bay. It might have rocks, but there are places in the world where they have reefs that they just kind of jut straight up, almost like a pillar under the water, but they're just below the surface. And a boat may be going along, not realizing what's there just below the surface, and next thing you know, they're taking on water and going down. And you know, these men, you know, you'd have someone who's a genuine believer going around, and they bump into this person. Next thing you know, they're taking on water, and things aren't so peaceful and pleasant anymore. But that's because these men, for whatever reason, did not have that connection with the Lord. And they did not have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. You know, the first one, of course, being love. And if we look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 21, you know, he's correcting the Corinthian church and how they celebrate the Lord's Supper, which, again, was probably a full meal, you know, where they spent time sitting down, eating and talking together. And he says, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. And what he's really pointing out is that they're not being considerate of one another. They're not acting in love toward one another. You know, this was his real concern. And actually, forgot to pull out the scripture, but Paul at one point corrects the Apostle Peter. And if you recall, you know, maybe you haven't read that, but Paul actually at one point in time rebuked Peter to his face in front of the church. And the reason was, Peter, at mealtime, when they were gathering together, their love feast or the Lord's Supper, but they were gathering together in fellowship over a meal, Peter started to separate himself from the Gentile believers. And for that, Paul rebuked him to his face in front of the church, in front of the congregation. That's how serious Paul was about this issue of fellowship and of acting in right relationship with one another. over a meal, over the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has a lot of meaning to it. And just fellowship's just one aspect of it. That's what I'm mainly talking about today. But it's a very important aspect of it. Again, you know, Jesus' prayer being that they may be one. And when they come together in Scripture, you know, he talked about eating of one loaf. In the culture of the day, they would have not separate plates the way we do, but they would all grab out of the same plate, same bowl. It was a true communal meal. And they would partake of one loaf. And when they came together in that fashion, eating together, it was a picture of communion, of fellowship, of connection, of relationship with one another. And to mar that was to do a serious injustice to the gospel. It was to do something that was completely counter to the work of Christ. He paid an incredibly great price, one that we cannot fathom, not only to bring him into relationship with himself, but with one another. And so when Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 29 about examining oneself, he says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Now, actually, earlier in that same letter, Paul points out in chapter 10, verses 16 through 17, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one loaf. When he talks about recognizing the body of Christ in chapter 11, realizing that just back in chapter 10, and then later on in chapter 12, where he says, now you are the body of Christ, each one of you is a part of it. When he's admonishing believers to examine themselves, when they're not recognizing the body of Christ, he's talking about the church. He's talking about recognizing the members of the body and our connection with one another. And when we partake of the cup and partake of the bread without understanding that, without recognizing that, and even more, mistreating other members of the body, we're taking it in an unworthy manner. And Paul even says that by that we bring judgment on ourselves. But that's not the Lord's desire. To be a friend of Jesus, we see in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And you can be sure that when you come to the Lord, that he will provide, that he will satisfy, and that he will enable you to fulfill his command of love. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." He desires to have fellowship with you and for you to have fellowship with one another. And part of what the Lord's Supper is all about is that fellowship with him and with one another that he has made possible through his sacrifice for us. And it's something that we should always be mindful of when we come together. When we look on another believer, to look at them through the eyes of Christ, to see a saint, a brother, a sister, someone who's dearly loved, washed by the blood of Christ, precious in his sight. Now, sometimes when we get a little bit too focused on one another, it's hard to see that way. It's only done by truly keeping our eyes on Christ and understanding what he has done, not only for us, but for one another. Understanding his grace and receiving it. So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, all that he has done for us, do examine yourself and think about not only your actions toward other believers, but your thoughts. What is your attitude toward your fellow believers? Do you look at them in love? Regardless, unconditionally. It's only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit.